In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Today we commemorate and remember the Reformation. We give thanks to God for Luther's clear teaching on the doctrine of righteousness in an age where the Roman Church veiled the comfort found in Christ. Luther restored the pure doctrine of the righteousness of God to the church. Our epistle reading from Romans chapter 3 clarifies the work of Christ for us. By his grace, he is our Redeemer. He is our Passover Lamb. And he is our mercy seat. The sacrifice which pleases God's wrath on sin. Luther clarified this gospel teaching for the Holy Church, as Christ's bride had been corrupted and robbed of the eternal comfort found in the cross. Toward the beginning of the Reformation, Luther wrote a treatise called On the Freedom of a Christian. And in this work, Luther expounded the biblical answer to the question, what does it mean for man to be free? When we hear that word freedom, we think of something different than how the Bible typically uses the word freedom. In our culture, freedom is usually associated with choice. We're free to choose to own a gun or not. We're free to choose public, private, or homeschool for our children. We're free to go to whatever church we prefer. A person is free who has the right and power to choose as he wills. Therefore, we often hear of the freedom of choice. Our ideas of freedom arise from the idea that a person is independent and autonomous. However, the Bible knows no such freedom of man. Rather, the Bible reveals man as entrapped, dead in sin, destined to death. Man can only live if he's freed from that slavery and is reborn a new man. At the beginning of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, Jesus is pictured in the Garden of Eden in deep prayer. When Satan comes to Jesus and tempts him to reject the way of the cross that the Father has given him, he says things to Jesus like, do you really think that one man can bear the sins of the world? Do you really want to die for those who don't love you? Jesus struggled to accept the will of the Father, that will being to embrace the cross. But then the scene climaxes when Jesus sets his heart to accept his Father's will and crushes the head of the serpent underneath his foot. This scene with Jesus rubs up against our preconceived notions of freedom. Is Jesus, by submitting to the will of the Father, therefore accepting, settling for, or resigning himself to slavery to his Father? Or is Jesus indeed free? Just who is this man? Is he a slave? Or is he free? Who is this man? who willingly goes the way of the cross for sinners. Is he a slave? We must start by saying Jesus' death is his purpose. Jesus came not to just preach and do miracles and gain a following of people. He does those things to draw attention to the reason God became flesh. Jesus stated his purpose in John chapter 12. He said, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." Someone had to come to save. Someone had to die. For we need someone to set us free from death. In the gospel reading, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus' audience took exception to Jesus' suggestion that he is the one who gives freedom. They said, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it then that you say you will become free?" Even though the unbelieving Jews didn't want to admit it, everyone who sins are slaves of sin. Sin enslaves us to ourselves, to our lusts, our passions, and our foolish choices. Yet this is why your Father in heaven has sent his Son, Jesus. He's sent him with this purpose in mind: to glorify the Father's name in familial obedience, and through his acts towards his Father, he sets the captives free. Jesus does nothing by the will, nothing but the will of the Father. Just before our assigned text, Jesus said, "I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." Jesus never defined himself autonomously or independently. He submitted to the will and authority of his heavenly Father. The Father gave Jesus authority to lay down his life or to take it up again. And so whatever Jesus does is done by the authority and will of the Father. Who is this man? He is the Son of Man, sent by his Father to be lifted up on this cross. And by this lifting up on the cross, the whole world will be drawn to him. And the whole world will see him. Jesus is the bright light shining in darkness. He is the city set on a hill for all to see. He says, "I have come into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Jesus reveals himself to the darkness of sinful man. And in bringing this light to the dark world, by revealing himself to those who believe in him, who hold and grasp onto him by faith, Jesus reveals the loving Father in heaven to them. For Jesus said, "Whoever sees me sees him who sent me." In another scene from the movie The Passion of the Christ, Jesus was flogged by the Roman soldiers. In that scene, Jesus was chained down to the pole while he took his flogging. And then fast forward towards the end of the movie, the soldiers nailed Jesus' hands and feet to the cross. So in these two scenes, the flogging and the crucifixion, it shows Jesus being tied down. Yet this symbolic fact teaches that Jesus is bound to his Father's will. Does being in cuffs and nailed to a cross sound like a free man to you? Does this mean that Jesus is a slave? Well, of course not. To die the death of the cross reveals the freedom of the Son, that he is free to do the will of his Father. Who is this man who gives over his life? He's absolutely free. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Son of God who freely does and reveals the Father's will to us. He is the Word of God made flesh. He is the image of the invisible God, and through him, God speaks to his creation. For he is one with his Father who sent his only Son as a gift to the world, who freely submits to his Father's will and gives over his life for the life of the world. Who is this man whose life is given so that others might live? Is he a slave? Or is he free? Our text tells us the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the Son remains forever. Jesus is not the slave, he is the Son. And he remains in the house of God forever. Therefore, he is the Son who makes us free whenever you were baptized into him. For if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. In baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. You must be born again of spirit and water if you are to be recipients with Jesus of this kingdom. And as the resurrected Christ breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," so now does the Spirit you received at your baptism give you assurance that you abide in the Son. And since you abide in the Son, you remain in his house forever. For in Jesus, we're created anew to be as he is. As Paul says in Romans 6, the baptismal life gives life to the new man. And this new man that we are, by our baptisms, is free in Christ. Yet he's also a slave. Paul writes, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Since we're baptized into God and made a new man and received the Holy Spirit, we're free from our sin, but slaves of righteousness. We are made as Christ is, bound to the will of the Father, just as Christ was bound to the cross. Specifically, we're bound to the commandment of love, given to Jesus by his Father. Who then is this man whose life is willingly given over for others? Is he a slave and free? This man makes himself to be in you and I, and shares himself with us. He is the baptized one who freely invites us, the baptized, to pray to our Father. He is the baptized who freely invites us, the baptized, to gladly live as slaves to the life of Christ. He is the baptized who freely invites us, the baptized, to be bound to the law of love. He is the baptized who freely invites us, the baptized, to live in the perfect freedom which can only be found in God's love. In one of the final scenes of the movie, The Passion of the Christ, the Roman soldier stabs Jesus' side with a spear to confirm his death. Out from Jesus' side comes water and blood. As soon as Jesus' water and blood from his side hits that soldier's face, he falls to his knees and looks up to Jesus with awe and wonder, as if he had just been baptized and washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, as if he had just become a new man because of Christ. The Reformation preached the freedom that we have in this crucified Christ. The Father gave up his only Son out of the freedom of his love for this world, which is the Reformation teaching, grace alone. It is impossible to receive that which is freely given except through the freedom of a thankful reception of this gift, which is the Reformation teaching of faith alone. This is the freedom from sin that we have in the gospel that is proclaimed through the scriptures, which is the Reformation teaching scripture alone. Through this man, we are made new, free from sin, and a slave to love. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.